play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2020 Rocket Mortgage Classic. In order to do so, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. How you doing?
We're doing well. You know, we're live again, Jesse. For those that don't know, we used to do YouTube all the time. We're back.
Yeah. Yeah. Google took away our Hangouts, which was very easy to use, and so guys, Bubba got us hooked back up with something else, and so this will be cool, man. It actually looks better than what YouTube was too.
Yes, it actually does look a lot better. It took me like three clicks, so it just shows you that if I can do it, anyone can do it. But we do have some golf that took place over the weekend at the Travelers. It was pretty interesting. DJ takes down another one. It's been a while. Brendan Todd made me feel more like a normal golfer on the 12th hole. I felt for him. We've been there before. Yeah. But what do you have takeaways from the weekend? Because it was pure carnage overall.
Yeah, especially with, I was at a member guest tournament all weekend, and rain cut it short, so I got home and was able to watch most of the Sunday coverage, but I fell asleep and woke up, and when they said that Brendan Todd, who I actually had in some lineups and needed him to do well, took six to get on the green or whatever. Yeah. So I didn't really, pay a whole hell of a lot of attention to this week, other than, DJ is DJ still. I don't think anybody in their right mind really thought that he was done. Seen some stuff like that on Twitter, but nobody ever really thought DJ was done. He was just, it's kind of what he does, man. He's up and down. He got it figured out and got the putter rolling, and had a wonderful weekend, 61, 67, and 67 was all he needed. Now, I thought he had a bit of a potential for a collapse there when he jerked that one out of bounds on 13. That was right after the hole that Brendan Todd tripled. But, the dude's so good. He basically hits one out of bounds and still makes a bogey, Mm-hmm. That's a double or triple for anybody else.
Easily.
Yeah. So, he made a fucking super long putt. Not super long. It was 7 feet. But, 7 feet for bogey when you're leading the tournament, it's a pretty long putt. And he just drains it. It broke. It was a breaker. And anyway, pretty weird leaderboard, dude. Your boy Ryan Armour was up there, though.
Yeah, back-to-back weeks, talking up Armour. Of course, did I play him? No. Probably play him this week. We all know how that ends up going. So, that's going to be the fun of that one. But it was just a weird week. We see so many missed cuts. Like, I think 6 of 6 was less than 2%, give or take. I know I had a 3 of 6 that bubbled. That just explains to you exactly the craziness that took place there. We saw some guys do very, very well this past week, and other guys I know was one of my overall just disastrous deals. So overall, interesting week, but I wouldn't say we were off. We were definitely on the right path. Just there were some guys that missed the cuts that were just, what the heck just happened out there? Any final takeaways from it? It was good golf. It was just a very weird, weird deal.
Yeah, I like that golf course. I forget about it, and then – of course, until the week that it comes along. But, Bubba missed the cut on the number. Tony Finau missed the cut on the number. Woodland, was kind of close, but not really. Two shots out there. And who else? Rose.
Yeah, Rose goes four over on Friday to miss the cut. It was some ultimate trunk slams on Friday. I left Thursday feeling very good about life. Yeah, JT. It was
two weird. Over par for the weekend. Strange week, but you're gonna have that, and I got a feeling this week's gonna be even worse, though.
It's gonna be much worse. When we break down the field, it is a slightly better than Corn Ferry event. Bryson Webb's there, and then a bunch of recent Corn Ferry grads, and a Corn Ferry feel, basically. There's obviously better players, but there's that feel in the air. So one other thing I just wanted to ask you, and we don't have to talk deep about it. I know we love watching golf on TV, and Fox does a great job of showing golf, which is what we want. And now Fox doesn't have the U.S. Open. It's out of our control. We're going to watch it regardless. But the fact NBC has it doesn't excite me. Better than CBS. But what's your thoughts on Fox essentially giving up the U.S. Open in my mind?
Yeah, I don't know what's behind that decision, but it sucks. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I like to watch their coverage. I thought they did a good job and told the stories well or whatever and showed a lot of golf. So hopefully NBC will be able to do the same, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Did they have it before? Did NBC have it before Fox?
I think so.
Can't remember, man. That was so long ago. But Fox spoiled us.
Yeah.
They also did a really good job with the Women's U.S. Open, the USAM, and stuff like that too. So I don't know why. The only thing I could figure out was there's some kind of dispute with the U.S. Open this year being in September, right?
Yeah.
So football will be going on.
That makes sense. You're right there. I didn't even put that together. I haven't even heard that argument. That makes too much sense. So
I mean, that's their cash cow. You know, they're not going to give up football to because I think what I saw was they were wanting to move the U.S. Open to FS1.
Oh, okay. And the PGA Tour probably said no.
Right. They're not willing to take a back seat.
That makes sense.
So I guess nobody wanted to be flexible with it, or at least the PGA didn't want to be flexible with it this year. Because, you know, I mean, it would go back to Fox Sports, you know, Fox next year. But whatever, that's over and done with. What are you going to do?
Yep. What are we going to do? We know what we are going to do. We're going to talk about the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which last year was an absolute birdie fest. We have 1 year past history. Would you like to tell us all about it?
Yeah, this is going to be short. Nate Lashley was your 2019 champion, 25 under par, 6 shots over Doc Redman, won $1.3 million last year.
Yeah, and he Monday qualified.
That's right. I forgot about that, dude.
Yeah, that was big. He Monday qualified. Yeah, you talk about – we're going to have a weird leaderboard this week in general, but last year, Lashley, Redman, Sabatini, Roach, Neiman, Stewart, Potter, Sneds, Reed, Tringali is your top 10. That is just oozing of top talent.
Last year, this was 2 weeks after the U.S. Open. I don't know what the tournament was right after the U.S. Open, but so I'm sure, you know, guys were taking a little bit of time off there. Plus, no offense if anybody lives in Detroit, but it is Detroit.
Yeah, it is. But
it's not like Georgia on the coast or, you know, I mean, so.
It's an out of the kind of way type thing. That's why a lot of guys aren't there this week. They stayed on the East Coast, did the Florida, went up to the, you know, Boston, Massachusetts area up there somewhere. They're not going to go to Detroit just to have to come to Ohio. They're going to just kind of take their time, take the week off to rest, yeah. 2 weekends in a row at Jack's place. Like, they're going to do that. So that's why we're seeing the strength of field. And sometimes I love these fields because you get a bunch of these young guys. It's a birdie fest. It's cool to see some people don't know about at the same time. It's going to be an altar tilting because when we talk about the course here, it's the Detroit Golf Club. It's a Donald Ross design. You hear Pete Dye, you hear Donald Ross. Those are like the two big dogs when it comes to golf design. It's a little longer than normal. It's a par 72, 7,340 yards. We haven't seen that in the last few weeks, but don't worry. Don't worry at all. It's pretty wide open. There are some trees out there, but it was one of the most commonly hit fairways in all the tour. Guys were launching it. It was turned into an iron/wedge fest, birdie fest. If you can putt this week, you're going to put up birdies. As he said, Lashley 25 under, Redman 19 under. It's a race to see who can score and score a lot. There's 4 par fives. We haven't seen that in a while. 2 of them are very, very gettable. Eagle rate's close to 3% on hole 7 and 17. So if you look at par 5 scoring, that's going to be huge this week. Approach game's going to be big. And just putting, bent grass greens, they say there's a little bit of POA, but this is much more bent than last week. Last week was a kind of a POA bent mix. This is pretty much a bent grass green situation here. So that's what I'm looking at when we get in that mix. And then the only other thing I have, because it's a pretty straightforward golf course. I remember watching it a little bit last year. They don't make you think too much like we've seen in recent weeks. Like Bryson is going to be really fun to watch because you can almost just let it rip and go crazy at this thing and wedge it in. And some of these other guys, that's why I think the Corn Ferry guys do well, because a lot of these young guys can bomb it, and they're used to just birdie festing it. So that's why we looked at last year's leaderboard. It made sense. We do have two listener questions this week, and they're from the Slack chat. We didn't promote listener questions. Maybe we will in the future. But if you go to the Slack chat, it's free. Just ask us to join. Dire Work had the first one, and he mentioned it's been talked about because it was such a scoring fest last week, and they didn't alter the course a ton, Jesse. But what they did do is they grew the rough out a little bit to narrow the fairways a tad, and they're going to grow them to like inch and a half, maybe 2 inches, which to me isn't going to affect these guys a whole lot. What do you think? Are you going to factor that in at all when it comes to like off the tee or anything like that?
I think he was talking about something that Josh Culp?
Yeah.
Tweeted out, and instead of 3.5 inch rough, they're going to have 4 inch rough.
Okay, gotcha.
So basically, it's going to be a half inch, you know, taller. And the you know, the real question was, do you think that's going to make any difference? I don't. I mean, I'm not going to worry about accuracy more than I would, especially on a golf course that's 7,300 yards. You know, I still want guys who can get it out there. And so, no, for me, it's not going to matter. I think it'll play very similar to what it did last year. It was basically the same weekend. And so I think conditions, obviously depending on the weather, rain, wind, that kind of thing could alter things. But as far as the conditions on the golf course, grass and all that kind of stuff, it should be very, very similar. And I wouldn't really change my mindset on just a half inch of rough.
Yeah. Like a warm Detroit day that it shouldn't matter a lot. And I said, these fairways are huge. These guys are piping it all over the place and just doing their thing. It's fun to watch. If you like a lot of scoring, if you're sweating on Friday for like a minus six cut line, that's stressful. Like personally, I prefer like an even minus one cut line. It's a little less stressful, but when it comes to DK scoring, there's gonna be a lot of points. The winning lineup this week might be in like the 700s. It's gonna be, it's gonna feel like a WGC almost if you have that 6-6. It'll be a lot of points up there. Before we get started, FanShare Sports, we talked about it. They are free until June 30th. That is Tuesday. If you're listening on Tuesday, that is that day. That's tomorrow. So you have one more day for FanShare Pro for free. Otherwise, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, all lowercase, one word, ALWAYSPRESS, 20% off the package of your choice. Couple quick things here on FanShare. If you just look at a couple goodies, last 10 events on Donald Ross Designs, a lot of these guys haven't played a ton of those. Like JT Poston plays well, Sabatini, Vic Hovland's played the last two, Stewart, Wes Roach. Not a ton of guys have played those because usually the main ones are part of the FedEx Cup finals, or the like the third event and the finals. The Wyndham and the Eastlake are two Donald Ross courses. So not a lot of these guys have made it that far just yet. But when you look at par 72 courses, 7,200 to 7,400 yards, which this falls into, last 10 events when it comes to DraftKings scoring, Pat Reed leads the field at almost 90 points. Then Fowler, Matsuyama, Brant Snedeker, Tony Finau rank up top there. Sepp Straka plays well at these, and so does one DJ Trahan. So something to think about there if you want to get really weird. But up top, you got guys that have played pretty well at these events. Also, last 10 events on bent grass greens, Matsuyama, of all people, who seems to tilt me with the putter, leads the field in the last 10 events, almost over 90 points. Pat Reed, again, up top. Lucas Glover, Finau is up there yet again. You got guys like Matty Wolf, Victor Hovland, Adam Hadwin, Webb Simpson, and Sungjae Im. And then last but not least, since it's technically free till the 30th, I'll give this one out there, their special course suitability ranking. There's some odd names this week, Jesse. There's some very odd names that I don't know if I feel comfortable with. Number one on the list is Adam Schenck, who we've been on once in a while. But the number two is Finau. I can see that. Number three, though, I'll just tell you this much, not playing him. If he plays well this week, I'm going to be really ticked off. But Ricky Barnes is number three. Then it goes Sungjae Im and Brant Snedeker to ramp out the top five. So four out of the five I can kind of sleep with, because at least Schenck, 6,700. Okay, we'll see what happens. Ricky Barnes, there's no chance. Not a chance. I'm putting that one out there. I guess, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. So that'll wrap up our fan share. Again, always press one word, 20% off. Jesse, let's do some DraftKings picks for the week. 10K and above. Again, this is going to be a tough week. For last week, we talked stars and scrubs. Not nearly as comfortable this week. But the stars this week, Bryson at 11.7, Webb at 11,000, Hatton at 10.7, Pat Reed at 10.5. Had a nice Sunday, I think 6 under. Matsuyama 10-2 and Victor Hovland at $10,000. Where are you going up here this week, Jesse?
I mean, let's start up top with Bryson. I think there's a couple of different ways to look at Bryson. Obviously, the price tag is much higher, so $11,700. Not used to paying that, but it's been creeping up. And the reason is because he has six straight top tens, which is pretty incredible. I think over the, like, since the since the PGA Tour came back, he's the most under par golfer on tour in the last three events. And he's never played here, but this is what you would think where he would be successful. Just bomb it the fuck out there and go for a lot of these par fives, which, you know, the par fives are basically the easiest holes on the golf course. And this week we have four. The last couple of weeks we've had two or three, right? I mean, it's not been as many par fives.
Par 71, so yeah.
And all three of these par fives are playing under par. I mean, there's one that's 634 yards, but it's still playing in a 4.75. So they're mostly playing around 4.5. So they're very gettable, and that's where kind of Bryson thrives, is, you know, getting the – I mean, his short game is not the best, but if he can get it out there and then get on the green or around the green, he at least has a really good chance to get up and down because he is a professional golfer. So I like Bryson a lot. I don't think that will be a unpopular opinion this week. I think a lot of people will like Bryson, and I think it's rightfully so. But what I'm saying is I don't know that a lot of people will want to pay up, especially once we get down to these, like you already mentioned, Stars and Scrubs this week is going to be a little bit more difficult. So if you can fit Bryson into a lineup, feel comfortable with it or whatever, you know, I like starting there myself. I think Webb's fine. I guess he doesn't have Corona for sure. Obviously coming off the win. Terrell Hatton, I'll play him at 10,700. He's not played here, but, you know, third at the Heritage and first at the Arnold Palmer. I'll let you talk about Reed if you want to. And then Hideki, man. So he played here last year. He finished 13th, coming off a missed cut at the Heritage. I hope that depresses a little bit of his ownership maybe. I was just kind of looking at some stats from last year, and he actually hit it pretty well around here. And then Victor Hovland is fine too. I think they're all fine. If you want to touch on Reed, you know, go ahead. My favorite is Bryson, and then Hideki would be my second favorite.
Yeah, Bryson is the obvious awesome play with a bullet. Like, I was joking around, he should be like 13,000 this week. In this field, he's just far and away like the top of the class. He might not win because it's golf, but in reality, he should be the heavy favorite in this event. And if you can afford him, like you said, do it. Like, I don't care how chalky he is. Like, you'll be different elsewhere by having to go down in the 6Ks. So Bryson, phenomenal play. That's easy stuff. You didn't need to listen to the podcast to know that. But I agree that Hatton play could be interesting. Could be a nice lower owned play. Didn't play last week, third the week before at the Heritage. He's you know, playing really good golf this year. Patty Reed, good old taco boy. Fifth place here last year. 24th last week, and he had a big Sunday. I think 6 under par, finished around 11 or 12 under overall. He had a horrible Thursday where he just couldn't putt, and that's been his thing. The week before, when he missed the cut at the Heritage, couldn't putt. Finished 7th the week before that at the Charles Schwab, where he could putt. And obviously this week, you need to be able to putt, and if you putt lights out, you're going to put up tons of birdies. So Reed's always in play for me in GPPs and maybe even in cash. It's harder at 10-5. I'm not as nearly – like when he's been in the 8Ks, it's been nearly automatic for me to plug in Patrick Reed. It's a lot harder at 10-5 for me. I'd rather almost go up to Hatton at 10-7 or go down to Hovland at 10,000. The only problem I have with Hovland, and it's just a petty thing to see how it works, but I think he's going to be super chalky in this range. Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to want to save money, and they're like, you know what, if I got to go pay for a five-figure guy, Hovland's my guy. And that's the only the problem I have. 13th here last year, coming off an 11th last week, and that was after a really bad Sunday. He started out on fire. I think he was like 4 under through 6, and then he ended up on like 2 under on the day or something. He could have really made a top five type run if he got it together. But you know, nothing worse than T23 since the return of golf. I like Hovland a lot, and that's not saying much. So Bryson's the man up here, no doubt. Hovland's a great play, but likely chalk. I think Hatton's a nice GPP pivot as well. All right, 9K range. You got Sungjae at 98. Nice bounce back last week. At least he made the cut. Didn't really finish well, but made the cut after missing the cut the week before. Ricky Fowler looking for that first made cut since the return of golf. Tony Finau at 93. Bubba at 92. Nah at 91. And Scotty Scheffler at 9,000. Quite the names that are playing some very inconsistent golf right here, Jesse. Who do you like?
I mean, Sungjae, obviously. You know, he's just an absolute cut maker. I mean, he's not playing like his best, but he did finish 21st here last year. You know, 58th last week. He just, I really think it's just a matter of him getting the putter going. You know, whenever he was having a lot of success before the break, you know, he was putting better. So we'll see about that. And, you know, and we know, we talk about every week how unpredictable that is. So I'll bank on him figuring that out at some point and keep playing him. Tony Finau at 9,300. You know, again, this should shoot or suit Tony's game. You know, last week his putter was atrocious and he couldn't scramble, and that's why he missed the cut. You know, of course, it was a birdie fest. Now, last year here, it was a 4-under cut as well. So keep that in mind. You got to have dudes who make a shit ton of birdies. And then Scottie Scheffler at 9,000. Dude makes a lot of birdies. He missed the cut last week on the number, so he shot, I guess, 300 for the week. And, you know, he played okay. You know, he hadn't played since the Charles Schwab, so, you know, we'll see. But 9,000, I think, is totally fine for him in this field. So those would be my three that I would harp on in that region.
Yeah, Sanjay, I'm 100% with you on that one. In a field like this, we talked about maybe some of his issues before was, you know, these kind of goofy holes, the way, you know, visually Pete Dye type stuff, and maybe that affects him a bit. Well, we're back to wide open, grip it, rip it, go get birdies. And Sanjay does that very, very well. So he can pin seek with the best of them. No problem with Sungjae at 98. Finau at 93 I like as well. I can see a lot of lineups for people starting out Hovland, Finau really easily. So I'll have to keep an eye on that. But I think Finau, you know, like you said, didn't play here last week or last year. But this course, the way he can play, should just play right into his wheelhouse. So I like him quite a bit. And then Kevin Na is a guy that has my attention. Didn't play here last year. Fifth place last week. Another guy, if we're talking good iron approach type game and you could get a hot putter from time to time, Kevin Na, we could fit that mold pretty darn easily. I've been a Knopf fan often, so I have no problem going to Kevin Na at 91. Likely comes in under-owned because I think Scottie Scheffler will be popular, and rightfully so as a birdie maker. Finau at 93. I think Kevin Na at 91 could be quite an interesting lower-owned play in this 9K range. All right, 8K range. You got Sabatini, 88. Poston, 87 off a disappointing missed cut. Jason Day at 86, Redmond all the way up to 85. There's some interesting price bumps this week. Glover, 84, Bezenhout, 83, Hadwin, 82, RCB, 81, and EVR at 8,000. What do you like in the 8K range?
So Sabs, Rory Sabatini, finished third here last year. A couple made cuts this since the break was over with or whatever. So I think he's fine. I do think, you know, his name will get thrown around a little bit. Poston as well, coming off the missed cut, I like him a little bit better just because he did finish 11th here last year, and he did miss the cut last week. So, I mean, his ownership wasn't super high last week, 7% owned. But, you know, with Poston, I mean, with Sabatini, Day, Doc Redmond right there, I know Doc will get touted quite a bit. He finished second here last year. I heard his name being thrown around quite a bit last week, and he finished 11th. Nice little Sunday, 63. To come in and finish an 11th there, and the 21st the week before that at the Heritage, Charles Schwab 58. So, I mean, he's just improving every week. I think Doc's fine, but just know if you play Doc Redmond, he's probably going to be a little bit chalky. Lucas Glover, funny story about Lucas Glover. I was anti-Lucas Glover last week. I don't know if you remember. Somebody posted some lineups in the Slack, and I got to apologize. They're like, that dude, I just sent him an invite to get into the Slack chat. He sends those lineups. I didn't go back and like look and see if I completely ruined his year or not, but he had Glover in one. I was like, dude, I wouldn't play Glover. This course history was whack. I mean, it was like, he had like 75,000 straight missed cuts, and he came out and shot 66 on Friday. Thursday, I was like, oh my God, dude, let's not do this. Let's not do this, Lucas. And then he makes the cut, and then he fires 63 on Sunday to finish 20th. So I apologize to that guy. We all said Harry Higgs in there, and he was like, and so he's like, all right, make the switch. And Harry, of course, misses the fucking cut. So Lucas Glover, I think he's okay. Had one at 8,200, never played here. You know, might be a little bit overpriced on Adam, but in this field, I mean, two straight, basically 40th place finishes since the breaks come back. So I mean, really my kind of like pivots here would be Poston and Glover off of Redmond and Sabatini, but you know, I think all four of those guys are okay. You willing to play Jason Day 4 weeks in a row?
Nope. I never played Jason Day, any period. Like him, Ricky Fowler, those are the guys that I know they'll finish well one of these days. They might even win. I'll never be on them. Like, they're just so – for the amount of chalk you end up paying for at least Ricky, not Day as much, it's just so tilting. Because I get it. Their talent level's there, but they're broken right now.
Yeah. I mean, Day did make the cut.
Yeah, and he finished 46th.
I mean –
I know. It counts when we had a bunch of, you know, 6 to 6 less than 2%. I get it. But it's just like, you know, Phil Mickelson was $6,900 last week, and, you know, we weren't on that train either.
Talk about tilt, though. No, I played Phil the week before, the last week he played, and he missed the cut. And it's just a fucking running thing with this dude that I always talk with every single week about playing Phil. Because if we play him, he misses the cut. And if we don't, then he fucking does what he did. When I saw he was 36 hole leader, I was so fucking pissed.
Yeah, you had to know it was coming to an end, though. Like, I really think what it was is he was playing with Rory and Bryson the first 2 days, and all he wanted to do was hit bombs.
Dude, that was a great group.
Phenomenal, because you got two guys that are, like, young and at the peak of their game. Then you got Phil at 50 years old trying to hit bombs, trying to keep up with these guys. It's perfect.
That was fun to watch. I mean, they were taking some hacks at it.
Yeah, and that's what's fun about these guys playing in fields we've never seen them play them before, because these guys don't play these courses, and now they're just making it so much fun. It's like video game stuff for Bryson. But, 8K range for me. Sabatini, I'm 100% on. I am afraid he's going to be a little popular this week, but third here last year, like you said, didn't play last week, but then 21st, 14th, very good iron player, good approach type game. So I do like Sabatini at 88. Poston missing the cut, 87. I'm hoping that deters people, because I'll be right back on that train. 11th here last year, 8th and 10th. Talk about a guy that can just stripe it down the fairway, wedge things in. If his putter gets going, he can have another nice week here. So I think Poston 87 is one I'm all about. You're right, Redmond's gonna be popular. It might be good chalk, but I don't know. Like, it's pick your poison. He's gonna be a really good play. I think he makes the cut. Like, cash games, I'd be cool with it. GPP, there might be pivots like Poston and Glover. I'm with you on Glover. 20th, 21st, 23rd since the return of golf, playing phenomenal. He was playing pretty good even in the fall swing and everything. So he's picked things up. 8,400 is a little steep for Lucas, but it is the field after all. So I think he's a good GPP pivot off of Redmond, like you were talking about. And then other than that, like Hadwin, I can kind of see in cash if you want. I don't think he's going to contend, because I don't know if he's got that many birdies in him. I mean, I know he does when he plays like La Quinta in California, but I don't know if he's got him in him here. But to make the cut and stuff, I could see Hadwin being there. RCB is a GPP player, like, at $8,100. He can be inconsistent off the tee, but this course doesn't penalize you as much for being inconsistent off the tee, and he has phenomenal iron play. So I think our RCB at 81 could be a very interesting play in this lower 8K range. All right, 7K now. Now it starts to get fun, Jesse. 7,500 and above, who you liking?
Up top with Brant Snedeker there at 7,900. Finished fifth here last year. Coming off a made cut at the Travelers Championship. I think we mentioned him a couple weeks ago that we didn't even realize he was in the field. So I think Brant's fine at 7,900. Alex Noren, I think he's interesting. You know, 21st at the Heritage. Didn't play last week, but 60th. So at the Charles Schwab. So two straight made cuts since the break ended. And if he gets the irons going, he can get real hot. Maverick McNealy, big fan this week. The dude is just murders par fives. In his last two events, he's, you know, 12 under par on the par fives. And that's, you know, the Heritage and Charles Schwab. I can't remember what the par at Charles Schwab was, but, you know, at the Heritage, there was, what, two par fives?
Two par fives, yeah.
Yeah, and, he's 6 under on those par fives for the week, which is pretty good. When you get 8 tries, you know, you make 6 birdies, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's good math.
And double check myself there. Joseph Bramlin at 7,500. So didn't play here last year. I mentioned him last week. He had been playing well on the Corn Ferry. He made the cut last week, finished 41st, played the par fives well last week as well. Accuracy's there, but he's also, he's also can get it out there. You know, averaged 304 off the tee last week and was next to not owned. So 7,500, I think he's fine. Dude, I had so many flashbacks last week with like Scott Stallings on the leaderboard.
Yep.
And then Brendan Todd and then who was but Scott Stallings, I don't know, man. He's so up and down. I want to click his name, but at the same time, I don't. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had Stallings written down. It's like, man, like I could see it. A guy that can bomb it the way he can, but it's Scott Stallings. Like, which one's – he's 64th here last year, but you saw what he did last week. Given he likes POA, so maybe there's something to it there. Of course, putting. But I could see, like, in a GPP, if you're like, doing 20 max, sprinkle some Stallings. I yeah. can see that. I could definitely see that. I had him down. Brendan Todd, you hit on it there. It's like, I think people – he was contending, and then people saw kind of the collapse on Sunday. He might not – like, for all the price increases we saw this week, to see Todd at 78 kind of surprised me. It makes me want to play Brendan Todd, but I'm also, like, timid to play Brendan Todd. Do you see yourself with any Brendan Todd?
Well, so, I mean, I don't – he's not a long hitter, right? So – He's not really hitting it that far off the tee. But if you look at guys like Sneds, you know, last year he averaged 293 off the tee. And another guy who I'm going to talk about here in a second, Brian Stewart, who finished fifth here, he averaged 289 off the tee. So it's not like you have to, you know, hit bombs. What did he average last year? But wait, didn't Lashley win this last year?
He won this last year, yes. 25 under.
Well, whatever, for whatever reason, it's not pulling up. But, you know, I mean, so, I mean, I, you know, everybody thinks it's a bomber's paradise or whatever, but there are some guys who had success here last year because I'm assuming their putters just got absolutely red hot.
Yeah. Well, I think I saw somewhere like the top 20 finishers last week all are like heavily positive in strokes game putting. So it's just hit the greens and run hot. That's pretty much what it comes down to this week. And that's it makes it fun, but also tilting for your DraftKings lineups. Very tilting because you look at the app on Thursday and Friday and second shot in within 8 feet, any two putts for par over and over again. And trust me, that was my last week. So I'm used to that by now, but that's where we're at. So I had to ask about Todd. I do agree Norton can be interesting at 78, a guy that at that price point we know can finish higher than his price point dictates. He's not sexy by any means, but he's got some upside there. I love McNealy. I love the cut making ability of McNealy, the scoring ability of McNealy. I think at $7,600, he's a phenomenal play in this range. I think you can do really, really well with him. And then I had Bramlett written down. We had a lot of similar guys here. I was with you on Bramlett last week. You know, the second, the third place finishes back to back on the Korn Ferry Tour, got into the tournament last week, finished 41st. But another guy, like you said, he can stripe it, he can make birdies and bunches. I think Bramlett at 75 could be a nice upside play as well.
So I found Lashley off the tee last year. He averaged 299 at this event.
Okay. So close to 300.
Yeah, en route to his win. So he also scored 142 DraftKings points.
That's what I'm saying. This week, with the way it's going to be a birdie fest and maybe eagle fest on the par fives, scoring is going to be like in the 700s if you have a 6-6 to win this thing. It's going to be bananas.
Could be.
Let's talk 7,400 to 7,000. Lots of names here. This could be one way that you differentiate taking chalk high, get weird down here with ownership. Will Gordon's probably going to be popular for obvious reasons. Brian Stewart's probably going to be popular for obvious reasons. What are some guys you're looking at down here?
Yeah, Brian Stewart, for sure, 7,400, finished fifth here last year, has made all three of the cuts that he's played in since the break. So 43rd, Charles Schwab, 52nd, Heritage, 20th at the Travelers. Hit a bunch of greens last week, all rounds under par, and the putter really wasn't that great. So, you know, maybe he can figure something out with the putter this week and get hot. Wes Roach at 7,300. So he finished third here last year. Missed the cut his last time out at the Honda Classic. I don't know if he's been playing on the Korn Ferry. Do you have?
Yeah, he had fifth two weeks ago.
Okay. So – just looking at some course history stats that I look at, I mean, obviously finishing third, you're going to have some good stats for four rounds for the most part. So anyways, I think he's interesting as a pivot off of Will Gordon. You know, I don't know if everybody's familiar with Will Gordon, but basically, right, he had to get inside the top three in order to get
into this field
and then get some other exemptions potentially down the road. So I'm not super familiar with the guy. He's been playing a little bit on tour. You know, he finished third last week. He played the Puerto Rico Open. He finished 20th. He finished 21st at the Farmers Insurance Open earlier this year. Missed the cut at the Sony. Made some other cuts back in the fall. Missed one cut to Sanderson. So, and you guys played on tour. It's not like he's not been on tour. Has he been? Has he been playing mostly on the Corn Ferry? Do you have Corn Ferry stats, or do you have
I don't have any. Missions? He hasn't played since the return. But the thing I heard about Will Gordon, and I'll say I heard it on the No Laying Up recap today. I didn't realize it. He came out the same time as Morikawa, Hovland, and all those guys, and he was ranked right behind them, who got those like automatic bids to get, like they were the ones that they were the first calls to fill spots in tournaments. So he always had to wait for one of them to back out or someone else. So he's in that talent level, maybe just slightly below that talent level. So that's why we're seeing the performance we're seeing. And he was interviewed saying he gets X amount of sponsors exemptions each year. He didn't want to have to use one this week, so finishing third got him in, obviously. But he's one of those guys that he's got more talent than I think people realize, because if you think about right behind Hovland and Morikawa and that grouping, that's pretty elite company, as we've seen now. Wolf and all them.
Morikawa, by the way, missed his first PGA Tour cut.
And he took the week off. I was really hoping to play the bounce back Morikawa at a place like this. I think he could have a field day, and he's taking the week off.
Yeah, I don't blame him, though. So I think Will Gordon's fine. Obviously his ownership is not going to be the 0% that it was. I mean, it was 0.5% at 6,200 this past week. Who the fuck's playing Will Gordon? So you're going to get a major ownership bump on him. Kyle Stanley at 7,100. He finished 21st here last year, coming off a made cut last week after a couple missed cuts before that. So finished 24th all rounds at, was the par last week 70 or was it 71?
70, I believe. Yeah.
I just have it in my mind that it was 71. So
it might have been 71 the week before. Might have been 70. I'm totally spacing right now. Actually, I have it right here. Give me 2 seconds. Let me just flip back my handy computer notes here.
All these damn Pete Dye courses run together.
Yeah, it was par 70 last week, 71 the week before.
So he shot three rounds under par, and then Sunday he finished even par. So I think Kyle Stanley's fine. If his ball striking gets going, then he can be interesting. Sebastian Munoz, 7,100, missed the cut here last year, coming off a missed cut. He's a GPP play. Peter Uihlein, so he missed the cut here last year, coming off a 14th place finish his last time out at the Charles Schwab. Do you have any Corn Ferry starts for him?
Didn't play last week before 32nd.
Okay. His talent is better than what he has shown. And if he can get it going, now's the time to jump on. The dude bombs it. Pretty sure his dad like runs Titleist or something. I don't know. T Dunks, your boy at 7,000. Yes. Missed cut last week. I picked him up in our season long.
Oh, he made the cut last week. Finished 32nd.
Missed the cut last year.
Oh, okay.
At this tournament. Made the cut last week, like you said. Made the cut at the Heritage. Made the cut at Charles Schwab. Three straight made cuts. I mean, basically top 30. Let's just round it. Top 30s. But, at 7,000, I think that's fine. The dude can hit the ball too, but he's not as long as some of these other guys or whatever off the tee, that is. So, anyway, I think Tyler Duncan at 7,000 would be my last guy there.
Yeah, Stewart for sure at 74, fifth last year. Three straight made cuts since we returned, 20th last week. No problem, Brian Stewart at 74. I do like Will Gordon at 73. Chalky Will Gordon, probably not so much, but I think there's a lot of upside there with Gordon. Mark Hubbard, going right back to Hubbard at 7,200. I've been talking about him when he's been the 6K. He's been a nice value. Three straight made cuts. He can do birdies and bunches too. So I'm all about Mark Hubbard at 7,200 bucks as a lower price play. I like the Stanley call at 71. Definitely a guy if you're talking about iron play. He's one of the better iron players when he's locked in. So I can see that being an option. I got T Dunks at 7,000 on the list as well. And then Taylor Gooch at 7,000. Finished 17th there last year, coming off back to back missed cuts, 43rd at the Schwab. He was playing great golf. He's been just blowing up on Fridays, it feels like. Two weeks ago, blew up on Thursday, played great on Friday and just missed the cut. He's got massive birdie upside. So at $7,000 in a GPP, he's got that boomer bust type play that I don't hate when you're dipping down there. Like if you can go, anywhere the Hubbard, Stanley's, Gooch, Duncan, you like Uihlein. If you can hang out down there instead of dipping into the 6K, you might be a little happier about life in the end. Just my two cents on things. There might be a few guys down here as we discuss, but 6K is it's quite murky, Jesse. Who are you liking in the 6K range?
I think there's several guys down here that are playable. how much I'll play him, I don't know. But yeah. Jason Duffner at 6,800, he did miss the cut here last year, but is made both of his starts since the restart, or made both of his cuts since the restart. He did have one really bad Sunday where he fell way back at the Charles Schwab, but at the Heritage, you know, played well, 77 DraftKings points that week, and at $6,500 there. So his ownership has been low. I imagine it'll stay low, especially, you know, down here in the $6,800 range. Three more $6,800 guys I like: Griffin, Wolf, Harry Higgs. You know, Wolf especially, I feel like his, you know, his this price is bad in this field. He did miss the cut at this golf course last year, and has two straight missed cuts on tour. He did make the cut at the Charles Schwab. Not been playing like the best golf in the world, but you know, last year he missed the cut here, and then won the next week. So he can do it. $6,800, I'm going to take a chance on it. Higgs, I talk about him all the time. Lanto Griffin, he can bomb it off the tee. He's never played here. But at $6,800, I'd take a chance on him. Moving down a little bit, Sam Ryder, another guy who bombs it off the tee. Missed the cut here last year, $6,500 this year. Coming off a missed cut at the Travelers, did make the cut at the Heritage. I think he's worth a shot. And if you're way down here at the bottom, I got a guy for you, $6,000, Ryan Brim. He's for, especially for the price, he's decently high up on my Fantasy Labs model. He is $6,000. I don't have any starts for him since the Puerto Rico Open. But
Ryan Brim, he finished 18th on the Corn Ferry last week.
There you go. So coming off a solid 18th place on the Corn Ferry, 35th in the Puerto Rico Classic. I mean, there's other starts way back in the day. So I think Ryan Brim at $6,000 is playable.
So Ryan Brim and Bryson DeChambeau, you heard it here first. Pair them up and rock and roll. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you want to see how much that gives you? That leaves you with, I mean, most price, min price, $8,000 per.
You could do some damage there. You could do some serious damage there. So that's not the worst thing. When I'm talking 6K range, I'm looking at Ryan Armour at 6,900. Sixth place last week, 74th the week before, but he's made two straight cuts, 46th here last year. So you can go with Armour there. I think Lonto is very interesting at 6,800. Finished 24th last week, which is good to see after a couple missed cuts. If he can, because he can bomb it, so give him a little more room to land and then start playing a birdie fest. I think Lanto can be very interesting at 68. Wyndham Clark's another guy that can bomb it, and he can get that putter going at times. Finished 17th here last year. Missed cut, 64th missed cut since the return. So it's been very inconsistent. GPP at 66. Does have some upside. Wesley Bryan has been playing really good the last 2 weeks. 24th and 68. Really, really good iron player. He's $6,500. He could run hot if you get things going. He doesn't bomb it as much as the others, but a really good iron game coming off of back-to-back made cuts. Wesley Bryan at 65. What do you think of your boy Teets at 64?
Played
well last year, 35th last year.
I'm with you. He played well last week, too. I think he at least top 20 last week.
What did he do? 36. I think he fell down on Sunday.
He must have had a shitty-ass Sunday then. I mean, wind was blowing, I think, 30, 40 miles an hour. I don't know if you were watching the coverage, but there was a slight rain delay. I turned it over there for a minute from the PGA Tour, and I just turned it completely off because I knew DJ was going to win. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to take a chance with Teaser, you know, I always root for him, so.
Yep. And then the last guy I'll mention, he missed the cut here last year, but 41st last week, 37th, 56th. So he's made three straight cuts between the PGA and the Corn Ferry. He was 6K last week, and he got it done. But Hank Lebioda at 6,200, another guy that can birdie quite a bit if you have to go super cheap. There's a lot of interesting stars and scrubs approach. Like, you can make cases for a lot of dudes down here. It's dicey, but you can talk yourself into it if you need to. I'm just going to try to avoid it for the most part if I can. That's for sure. All right, recapping things real quick, Jesse, 10K and above, not named Bryson DeChambeau. Where are you going?
Hideki.
Hideki it is. I'll go with – I'm going to go Vic Hovland, but he's probably going to be chalk. 9K, one guy.
I'm going to say Scotty Scheffler.
I'm going to go Kevin Na. Let's do that. Let's get weird here. 8K range, let's go with two.
I'll say Poston and Doc Redman.
I'll go Poston and Glover. So we're on the same boat there. I think I really, if Poston burns me again, so be it. I'm going right back. He's really, really good golfer to just fade after a miscut. Like, I'm back on that one. 7,500 and above. Let's go with one guy.
Man, McNeely.
Yeah, I like that McNeely call. You took McNeely. I'll take Bramlett. I'll go Bramlett. 7,000 to 74. Go two.
Some people call him Bram Goat. You know that, don't you?
Oh, really? I did not know that. Oh, that's outstanding because Stu Goat withdrew this week, so now I can go Bram Goat. We're good.
7,400 Stewart would be 1A and then 1B. I would go with Peter Uihlein.
I'm going to go Hubbard and T Dunks. Those would be my two guys in that range. And give me, I guess, two 6K guys.
Wolf and Ryan Bram.
I'll go with that. Wolf is an interesting call. I was looking at that earlier. I don't hate that at all. I'll go Armour and let's go Armour and Wesley Bryan, but trying to avoid. All right. We had another listener question from Saul Goodman in the chat. Saul Goodman. He asked, I'll actually pull it up and read it properly so I don't screw it up. But he asked us basically our cash and GPP philosophies. And the question was, mainly for players new to PGA, explain cash and GPP strategy as well as contest selection. So when you're doing cash versus GPP, what's your differentiating factors there?
Preface this with saying that's not the Twitter Saul Goodman.
Yes, different Saul Goodman.
So if you're new to PGA, welcome. I'm sorry you found us. But the main difference. So like, I always go more balanced with cash game lineups. I think you'll agree with that, Bubba. Yeah. You know, as far as a cash game goes, I'm looking for guys who, in my opinion, the way I look at them is, I want two combinations. I want good recent form and good course history. And if they have both of those, I consider them a cash game or a quote-unquote safe play, knowing full well that there's nothing safe about anything on the PGA Tour. These guys can miss a cut or win every single week. Every one of these guys can. Well, most of them. Well, some of them can win every week on the PGA
Tour. Most can make the cut.
I mean, most can make the cut, yeah. So that's my main thing with cash. GPP, you know, typically it's a guy who has good recent form, bad course history, or good course history, especially if a guy has good course history and bad recent form, he's a big-time GPP play, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Cash games, I usually go more balanced. I usually hang out in like the 7,500 to 9,500 range. I do a lot of just all 8K guys if it's the right week. You can go cheaper if you have to. I try to always avoid 6K players in cash. I'll say that right out the gate because they're usually not safe for an obvious reason. And as you said, there's no such thing as a safe play, but you get what we're saying in that regard. Guys that are going to be cut makers, you don't worry about guys trying to win it all when you're playing GPP. In theory, I tell people, can you visualize this guy making it top 10, top 5? Like, you need to be able to visualize this guy winning a tournament to have your chance to do it. In cash, they can all finish 65th, and you don't care. Like, they just all have to get through. And most the other weeks. Things, yeah. Yeah, most weeks. True, most weeks, unless it's just pure craziness.
Right.
The other thing I'll say for cash, I usually rarely ever care about ownership. Some guys worry about in cash. Some guys, like, literally, you can have an 85% cash guy, and that's fine, especially as smart as people are starting to get in this PGA game. There's a lot of good chalk. Like, obviously, like I said, Bryson Simple. Victor Hovland is a phenomenal cash game play this week. He's probably going to be like 70% owned. Or Sungjae. One of the two of them is going to be so chalky. Both good cash game plays. So that's kind of the way I look at it there. And then GPP, yeah, take more risk. You don't have to play all risk. You just need to be different in one or two areas. That's one thing to keep in mind. And
it's where you got to play the ownership game, though, too.
Yes, definitely. And we've seen it big time in recent weeks with, like, such deep fields. We talked about it time and time again. And that's why we try to give you a couple pivots here and there. Like we talked about, maybe Glover's a great pivot off of Redmond. Stuff like that. Both super talented guys, close price range. But you'll get a nice ownership difference there. How do you do contest selection? Prefer contest selection?
So, you know, obviously the flashy lights are the big time GPPs, but they're very difficult to win. So if I'm new and trying to build up, I would put at least 75% of what I'm playing in cash. and then try to roll 25% in some GPPs, play some small single entry, you know, dollar, $2, you know, even quarter GPPs if you want to. And, you know, if you do want to start mass entering, I think there's a 10 cent where it's 150 max. I think there's definitely a quarter that's 150 max. And then there's also the $3 20 max. If you're going to play those, you really should max them out if you're going to put any lineups in there. Otherwise, stick to the three maxes. We talk about, I know me and you talk about that all the time as far as our context selection. We still stick with the three maxes. Now, we're, you know, at a different price level than somebody who's starting brand new. And even you and I play it, you know, at different levels as far as that goes. But we still have the same strategy as far as if we're going to be in a tournament with people, we want it to be single entry or three entry because we're not 150 max guys. And we'll tell you that up front.
Yeah, and I got no problem with like the 20 max, 150. I just can't wrap my head around doing those. But like 20 maxes, I've done those for baseball, NASCAR, stuff like that. So I can get that, get your player pool. I know Dirework and Kevin were talking about it, the cascading core in the Slack chat. That's something you can check out for sure. I prefer the 3 max and the singles. Get like a core that you trust, and you can have some really, really strong goes of it. Sometimes it doesn't work out so well, but you can definitely have some strong goes of it there. So I'm with you in that regards. But, yeah, if you're new, you just want to dip your toe in, get comfortable building cash lineups, get comfortable doing cheaper, you know, GPP tournaments like you're talking about. It's definitely something I'd look at. And feel free to ask us questions anytime.
Whatever you got to do, whatever you do to put your cash lineup in a GPP.
Yes, always put your cash lineup.
I don't care if it's a damn quarter. Put it in a GPP.
Yeah, that is 100% correct.
You do not want to just cap your winnings at whatever you're going to double up at.
Yeah, because if it runs hot, you're going to be very angry.
And it often does.
Yes. Usually it's my best lineup every week. Usually. Right. So it just goes to show you. So if you are playing GPP this week, Jesse, what are three guys you'd like to start your lineup with?
So Bryson would be a number one. I mean, hell, we already mentioned this, Brian Bram at 6,000. So, you know, we've got 8,000 left there. And I would put a guy, you know, like, I mean, Will Gordon rates that really well in my model. Doc Redman does too. So a couple of guys there. Scott Stallings, like we talked about before.
Yeah.
So there's a few options for you.
And Brim alone is going to make you so unique that you can almost, like, you could have Redman and Bryson and it won't matter.
Right.
So you're good there. That's kind of stuff people need to realize. Like, you can literally, one guy can differentiate it all for you. Outside of the Bryson, which is, I think, a phenomenal play, I think a threesome I like is Na, Glover, and Poston. I think that all has upside there. Guys I could all see finishing high, potentially winning. So that'd be a three-way I'd like to start with. What are three cash game builders for you?
You know, I think Finau would be okay for cash. I want to say Hadwin. He's just never played here before, but I feel like he's a bit of a safer, quote-unquote safer play. And then somebody like Scheffler, too, at 9,000. I know he missed the cut last week, but I feel like he'll bounce back this week and he makes enough birdies to really help you out.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I think either Hovland or Sungjae, it's going to be tough to play both money-wise. One of the two of them with Sabatini and Redmond is not a bad start. Like, you could definitely have some cash game starts there. It might leave you a little empty-handed, but you can get into the 7K range and still make some noise there. All right, it's going to be a wide-open week. We talked about the leaderboard last year. Any picks to win not named Bryson at 7-1?
What's
like, he's literally the best play.
What's the odds on Hatton?
Hatton is 16-1.
I mean, that's really short on him, dude. It's a tough week.
Very tough.
I mean, I would probably put a couple hundred dollars on Ryan Brim to win.
Maybe top 10, top 20. Is he, right now he's, oh my God. He's, holy shnikes. Let me double check because he's 400-1. I had to double check to make sure I was reading that properly. He's 400-1.
You got to put a dollar on that.
Yeah, or like I said, if he top 20, it's still probably like 150-1 or something. You could have some fun with that.
Yeah, I don't know what the odds would be, but yeah.
It's a tough week to pick winners. Yeah,
I don't have a great feel for it, but, you know, I mean, because I feel like it's Bryson week, but,
yeah,
you know.
it feels like Bryson Leap, like Sungjae's 22. It's not horrible. Like Poston's 40, Nas 40, Redmond's 45. Those aren't horrible. If you go deeper, if you believe in guys like Norn, he's 66. That's got some appeal to it. But you're going to get some long stacks. Like Lashley, like we said, Monday qualified. So Brim might not be that crazy. Lashley's probably more than 400-1. It's stuff like that. Gordon's 110-1. Hubbard's 110-1. Wolf is 110. That could be an interesting one, actually. Wolf actually has some validity in this one. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun week. Any final thoughts for the listeners about the Rocket Mortgage Classic?
I don't, man. Hop in the Slack and ask us some questions if you got them, and I'll be in and out of there all week.
Yep, should be a fun week. Interesting field, Birdie Fest. Hope everybody enjoys the tilt on Friday and actually has a tilt this weekend, so that'll be good. But if not, follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. Give us a rating and review on iTunes, and we're back on YouTube. Catch you guys next week. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the